Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to Mama Shar's house, y'all. Be prepared to laugh, cry, pee your pants, or puke, as you just never know what's going to happen. So sit back, relax, and find your frequency. Here's the woman of my dreams, Mama Shar.
Happy Tuesday, y'all. Welcome to the quirky world of Mama Shar. Coming to you from Northeast Oklahoma, where I got a little sun on my face today, a little pink nose when I was out in the yard. I'm not complaining about this winter weather. Sending out kisses and hugs to my Northeast U.S. peeps that are not so fortunate. It was a beautiful day here. It's been a beautiful day this last week or so. Tonight's show is rockin'. It's all about the children. All about the children. We're going to have a great guest on, Zamira Jaworska, that's an author, school psychologist, and a mother. She's going to share with us how she beat anxiety at age 23 after she had been told she would have to medicate for the rest of her life to cope. And she found other alternatives, and now she's sharing it with others, including her daughter, who had OCD. And she's helping many, many children and parents that are struggling with anxiety disorders. So we're going to have her on, and our music tonight is from, I'm going to say Shaina, S-H-A-I-N-A, N-O-L-L. Her little ditty, You Can Relax Now. So you guessed it, it's all about relaxation. Zamira has put together a great website over at kidsrelaxation.com. I highly encourage you to go over there and check out the site. Whether you have anxiety or not, it's pretty a cool site, if I might say so. But yeah, tonight's about the children. Our Ask Mama Shar segment is going to be at the end. And I've got a little letter from a young lady that's 20 and expecting her first child, and so we're going to address the questions she sent to me. And then, but I'm going to start off first talking about Snapchat. This is the latest thing for tweens and teens because it's instantaneous. It's like you have 1 to 10 seconds to respond to the photo, video, text, whatever, and then it's poof, it disappears. So I'd like to talk to you guys about that because it can be a best friend. I mean, it has pros and cons, but it can be a parent's best friend. It can also be the nightmare. Snapchat is a photo and video app with a twist, kind of like Facebook's poke function. You know, you poke and then the poke goes away kind of thing. Whatever you send disappears from 1 to 10 seconds, and you set those limitations yourself. If you want your real friend that you send it to only be able to see it for a second, that's what you put your setting at. If you want 10 seconds, you put it there. But some believe the stuff can't be retrieved, which is not true. It runs on mobile devices, iPhones, Androids, iPads, iPods. You're a high-tech computer expert with the right tools. You can retrieve them, but it takes a lot of knowledge. So the whole, I guess, the glamour of this, the kids can send stuff back and forth, and it gets wiped away unless it is screen captured. And that is a function available on all of our phones where we can capture the screen. So it's not as safe as the kids would like to, but it's not as predatory, if you will, that some social media sites are, because it's not publicly shared. It's shared just with your real friends. You can't make friends on Snapchat. You have to have these your real friends from your contact list on your phone, you know. So it's pretty, I mean, it's a great little social media site because nothing's exposed to the public, but at the same time, parents can't monitor what's going on with your children, what they're saying, what they're sending, anything like that. Now, the good news is that, again, it's for your real friends. It's not for the public. You can't make a friend. So some pervy old guy can't, you know, be soliciting your daughter and her sending him photos innocently and then him do it. But, you know, for the most part, it's a good program. I don't know how as a parent that you could monitor this without just absolutely trusting your child. And that's going to have to be up in, that's the ball's in your court with that one. You're going to have to sit down with them, and if they're using Snapchat, talk with them, you know, explain the rules and the regulations that they agree to when they sign up for Snapchat. And Snapchat has a stipulation not to screen capture someone else's stuff that they send you without their permission. But yeah, you know, we speed, adults speed, children break rules. So even though it's, you know, agreed to when they set up their Snapchat profile, it doesn't always happen that way. So, you know, be watching for your children if they're on Snapchat. I don't know how you would do it. I don't know how you could monitor it without being right on their shoulder. I think it's going to come down to trusting your child. So be aware, it's out there. It can be a daydream or it can be a nightmare. It just depends, I guess, on how it's used. So do yourself a favor and talk to your kids about Snapchat. It's the latest thing. I set my profile up, but I don't have any real friends on that because I think it's basically for children. You know, like I said, tweens and teens. So anyway, that's what I've got today on social media. So without further ado, I'm going to unmute Zamira Jezworska. I hope I said that right. And I have to tell you, this is my first repeat. Zamira was on with me last year. She and I are co-authors of the international best-selling and author and award-winning Pebbles in the Pond, Wave 3. And we talked then about Living My Love Story with Me, which is her chapter in the Pebbles in the Pond, Wave 3. But when I got down to her credentials and I saw she was a school psychologist and she had this program, KidsRelaxation.com, I told her, you have to come back and talk about the kids. That's all there is to it because this is so pertinent right now. So I'm going to read you her bio, and then we're going to give her some time to answer some questions for me. Zamira spent the last 16 years working as a school psychologist, most of these schools, and helping kids to learn peace skills. Another part of this journey was to support autistic students and their families. This, in part, prompted her study of greatly with anxiety. At 23, she was handed a prescription and told she would always need to use it. That prompted her search and experimentation with every relaxation method she could get her hands on. And after a few years, she found what worked for her and never needed to use the prescription. Years later, when her daughter also experienced anxiety and required intervention, she realized it was part of her life mission to help kids and parents too relax and find peace within. That's when she founded Kids Relaxation and the website kidsrelaxation.com to develop and share resources that make relaxation practice fun and engaging, supporting kids and adults in making the journey from the head to the heart. Her work at Kids Relaxation has been published around the world, and hundreds of thousands of people have visited and benefited from the Kids Relaxation website. Zamira is now known as the relaxation coach and specializes in helping parents and kids relax their minds and bodies while experiencing meaningful, heart-centered connection with both themselves and each other. Please visit www.kidsrelaxation.com to sign up for the blog and to check out the resources and products for kids, parents, and educators. Get started right now mixing fun and relaxation in your life. Are you with me, baby girl?
Yes, Mama Shar. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you beautifully. Thank you for that introduction.
Awesome. Well, you are so worthy. I mean, you're just like a little onion. We pull back one layer and there's just another layer there. Just surprise, you know? So, yeah, I knew when I had you on before and we got down to that you're a school psychologist, it's like that's worthy of the interview right there. We had to talk about that. And I will tell you right up front, you have my respect. Anybody that deals with children, especially someone else's children, I just am enamored with. I couldn't do it. I know my limitations. I know my strengths and my weaknesses. And dealing with someone else's unruly child is one of my weaknesses. So I applaud you for spending your entire life, adult life, fixing other people's children. And that's a feat in itself. So I have to ask you, when you were a child, did you want to be a psychologist?
Well, it was kind of funny. When I was a little girl, I can remember being really, really young in my playroom, I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. And I would put the dolls out. I would have a little, chalkboard. I would teach my dolls. And I also had this huge fascination with learning and about understanding how people think and how it's related to how they feel and what the connection was. So then as I struggled more and more with anxiety as a teenager and into my early 20s, I realized that I could help other kids with anxiety and teach them things. So that's one reason that I got started out working in the schools. And after I got my BS in psychology and graduated, I wasn't quite sure which direction I was going to go with my degree. So I got a job in a high school working as an assistant for 4 school psychologists. It was kind of like divine placement. And in doing all of their paperwork, and I was an interpreter since I spoke Spanish for a lot of their meetings, I decided this was the job for me. I could study how people think and feel, and I could teach in association with that. So that's kind of how it came about.
So did the anxiety medication come before your decision to be a school psychologist, or did your childhood anxiety make you want to be the school psychologist, and then they gave you the medication?
Well, you know, the anxiety came first, and it all, interestingly enough, kind of came about right about the same time. I would say that, and I never did take, and I want to start, by saying, I don't have anything against medication. I'm not pro. I'm not against it. I think in my experience, it's so very helpful for so many people, and that it can also be a very good stepping stone for healing. And so I just knew that, for me, I wanted to look for other things. But yes, my childhood anxiety had a lot to do with my decision. I was a really sensitive, high energy child. I felt everything around me. I was bothered by sudden change and the general unpredictability of life. And I didn't like to eat much. I couldn't sleep much. I was sensitive to like the feeling of newspaper. And as I got older and began to have panic attacks where I was convinced that I couldn't breathe and that, there was just this impending doom, that just set off another round of fears, and it started to get kind of worse. So when I finally realized that I was scared of driving my car after I watched in my job them show the high school students about accidents that could happen in your car, I thought, well, gosh, now I'm scared of driving my car. Where is it going to stop? So that's when I really sought help, because it was starting to impact my life in such a way that I needed help.
And I agree with the medication. I mean, I believe in acupuncture. Acupuncture mm-hmm. is big for me. I should have had back surgery for the second time, but I found a very good acupuncturist who in 45 minutes, I went from being curved and not being able to stand up straight to strutting like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. And it doesn't happen always for yeah. the, for other people like that, you know. It just did for me. So
yeah.
I have a tendency yeah. to push acupuncture and EFT on people because I know what it did for me. So I can relate to how you feel about the pharmaceuticals. It didn't work for you. It wasn't something you wanted to entertain. And in your bio, you said executive functioning and brain science. Now,
yes.
can you tell me what is that and how important is it in dealing with anxiety disorders?
Oh, well, you know, I think it's just a huge key in helping deal with anxiety disorders. So executive functioning is really that set of skills that are carried out by our prefrontal cortex, which is this newest part of our brain, this part right behind our forehead in the neocortex. And the skills of executive functioning are sustained attention, your ability to shift from one activity to another, short-term memory, your ability to regulate your emotions, to get started or initiate tasks, to control your impulses, and overall higher thinking, critical thinking, and problem solving. Those are all the skills that are asked, the tasks that are carried out by our prefrontal cortex. But when we're feeling anxious and stressed, the prefrontal cortex actually shuts down operation in favor of the fight or flight, you know, system, the limbic system part of the brain, which takes over. And so when that limbic system, when we feel threatened, it's actually a very good thing, right? I mean, in the history of time, if you were getting chased by a tiger or if you're going to walk in front of a bus, you want to be able to move out of the way. And that system right. is responsible for that. But as we have evolved through time, our chances of getting eaten by a tiger are slimmer, and even getting run over by a bus are slightly slimmer. And our psychological perception of psychological threats has increased. So instead of it really being a tiger, we become scared of the dark or scared of a threat or something that maybe as a child you saw in a movie that was scary. But all those psychological threats, the brain doesn't know the difference. So in anxiety, when the brain, it's in an anxiety disorder when the brain and the body have gotten into this like heightened state of arousal where that fight or flight or freeze mechanism is in overdrive and it's kind of triggered and firing all the time. And when that's the case, when that pattern has happened in the brain, then these higher thinking abilities suffer. They don't work to their opacity. So the reason I believe all of this is so important and powerful is that in brain science, we've learned that through neuroplasticity, and even now they're studying neurogenesis, but in neuroplasticity, we're realizing that the brain is constantly growing and repatterning itself over time. So in the old, you know, in the old science, they really believed we were born with our brain, it worked a certain way, and then that was it. But now we're learning that that's not the case, that we can relearn and that we're constantly relearning and we're constantly reforming our brains. Well, this is great in the area of anxiety because that means that when we learn this state, this perception of threat, and we have this heightened state of arousal, this is just a piece of it, but as we have that heightened state of arousal, then we have a chance to downregulate that by learning differently, by learning a different way, by training our brain with relaxation techniques, with many other modalities that we may talk about or not. But there's many modalities that we can downregulate that fight or flight system so that we get back that ability of that higher thinking, you know. And then we kind of get to a place when we work with anxiety and we get it under control, we get it lessened, we get to a place where we become more responsive and we have a choice. When we need to jump out of a bus, out of the way of an oncoming bus, we know and we use our fight or flight or freeze system to move out, you know, out of the way. But we also have a choice to respond. And that's what was really powerful in my learning and has been powerful in my support of kids in anxiety over time.
You know, I can't help but reflect back over something I just saw on Facebook that was would apply to my children's childhood in the 80s. You know, and it was a much simpler time. And even in the 80s, it was a more difficult time than for me in the 60s. Do you think that nowadays, having all this pressure, I mean, our kids, from the time they're 4 years old, they're going to preschool, right? We didn't start school until we were six. But at four, you're being regimented, you're structured, you're being forced to learn, you're being forced to fit into the box like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much of that is causing the anxiety disorders that are really quick. I know my daughter-in-law is a kindergarten teacher, and last year she was pre-K. And there are kids that are actually on medication at that age for this. And I wonder how much of it society is putting on them, because they don't ever really have a chance to be just a kid, play outside and not worry about somebody grabbing them or getting hurt. Or, you know, it's like just a different time.
Yeah.
You know, and
well,
and that's why they throw the medication at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's many, I think there could be potentially many reasons to, you know, that being some of it, that we don't have that relaxed nature. We have more demands for kids. I think there's also changes in our environment that have promoted some of these anxieties as well. I mean, I think paying attention to what's in our food or how our food's prepared or what's impacting our food could be a factor. I mean, I don't think we have all the answers, but we definitely know that there's a lot more kids that are experiencing that struggle with this. I mean, we're a very technological age as well. I mean, I think that we've reduced our interaction with each other, and that may have a component as well. I mean, it has in my experience. That a lot of kids are really wanting this connection, this person-to-person connection that may have been limited a bit by our development of so much technology. I love technology, too. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I just think these are some of the things that impact, you know, not having that extended family is another, I think, impact, too. You know, I grew up with grandparents and aunts and uncles and all this, and my kids have, you know, due to choice, we've moved away, but they haven't had that same community to raise a child kind of a thing. And I just think there's many factors that maybe have made it different for kids today, and that may be why we see more and more anxiety and more medication or more trying to treat it early, you know, in these young kids.
Right. Okay, so when you were 23 and they gave you this prescription, why didn't you take the prescription?
Well,
how did you resist?
I think, well, there may be a little bit of a rebel in me, but I think one of the things that is when she told me after she kind of done this evaluation of my anxiety and the severity of it, she said, you will probably always need to take medication. And when I heard that word always, my brain said, wow, always, I'm pretty young. Always is a really long time to have, I mean, saying that I live a long time, to take medication. So a couple other things cost too. I'm going to have to pay for medication for a really long time because I'm young. So a part of me thought, well, gosh, this may be something I really need. But why don't I give myself a trial period of, like, say, 12 months or so and do some experiments and really get serious about seeing if there was anything else that might work instead. And if either it gets worse during that time or it doesn't get any better at all and I'm still really struggling, then I'll take it. You know, I mean, it's definitely an option. I will consider it. At that moment in time also, I had a fear of the medication itself. So I had so many fears. I wasn't quite sure where to start, but it was a motivating factor to me that I heard the word always, and I thought, gosh, I don't know if I'm really changing anything if I'm always going to be doing the same thing. So I set about trying to find if there was another answer.
I can resonate with that. I'm one of those, oh, you don't tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. you know, we call it the rebel, but I think it's just strong women. You know, it's like I'm a hide and watch kind of thing, you know, person too. So I can get that. I think some of us that look at alternative medicine and embrace it have that same personality trait.
Yeah.
We're willing to try whatever, you know. When David was dying, I think I even took him to a voodoo doctor, to tell you the truth, just to try to fix him, you know. So that's my personality trait too, you know.
Yeah.
And now you have, your daughter was diagnosed with OCD. And was the OCD before you started Kids Relaxation, or did her diagnosis have anything to do with what you're doing now?
You know, once again, it did. It absolutely had a lot of influence in what I was doing. Another thing that I might say very briefly is that anxiety disorders do tend to run in families. I mean, they are genetic. There is a genetic component. So when it showed up for her, I thought, oh, gosh, you know, I've kind of done what I can. I really wanted to avoid this. And when it showed up, I was really motivated even more so to figure out what can I do to support her. So when she was really little, before, and, you know, OCD was interesting. It didn't show up right away, but in times of stress, she would see more of the OCD sort of symptoms. And so I thought, well, gosh, you know, what if we tried to manage the stress instead of just trying to manage the symptoms, which maybe both are needed, but I really wanted to focus on things that felt good. So when she'd go to sleep at night, I'd make up songs and visualizations and relaxation stories for her, and her sister would listen in too. And then pretty soon, sometimes before school, we were doing them. And then pretty soon, we were even practicing in the car. And then one day, I was taking a spiritual course, and I was meditating, and a real tiny seed of thought appeared in my mind. And I had the idea, wow, I could record some of these little relaxation stories and offer them to help other kids, maybe even the ones that I work with. And as things often happen with divine intervention, I was at the park the very next week, and my next-door neighbor said, wow, I just built this recording studio in my basement, and I'm looking for clients to rent it out. And I thought, what are the odds? So for the next 9 months, I would write down little stories, and then I'd cross my driveway and record them and have it mixed next door. It was totally amazing. It felt how it fell into place, and that was the beginning of Kids Relaxation.
That is so cool. So cool. And, you know, your baby girl is very blessed to have been birthed to you because of your inquiry mind and not wanting to settle for what the doctors, the prognosis that they gave you. So kudos, Mom. Kudos.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're gonna take the music break. And then when we get back, I want to talk to you about kids' relaxation, what you can do to help parents and children that are suffering from anxiety disorders. And I've got a few other little questions. I mean, you touched on it about food and stuff because you've got some things. I really dig your website. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
The things that you use.
Thank you.
I mean, glitter, bubbles, you know, ladybug pose, all those things were very intriguing to me. It's like, so, yeah, and I don't have anxiety disorder, but I found them pretty cool, too. So we're going to take a break, and then when we get back, we're going to talk about kids' relaxation. You good with that?
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great. Thank you, Mama Shar.
All right, baby girl. We'll go wet your whistle, and I'll be right back with you.
Okay.
We're going to now listen to a song by Shayna Noll, Shayna Noll. You can catch her songs over at shaynanoll.com. And this song, highly appropriate, was You Can Relax Now. And if you saw the video, it's about children. It's children playing. It's children being what God meant for children to do was be children and not try to live in an adult world. So we're going to listen to You Can Relax Now, and then after the music break, you guys come on back. We're going to continue talking to Zamira Jaworska about her program, Kids Relaxation. I'm telling you, it's really cool. You guys have got to go over to kidsrelaxation.com. She's got unbelievable stuff over there. But for now, we're going to listen to the little ditty, and then you guys come on back.
Thank you.
I love that song. That brings a little moisture to my eyes when I listen to that. Okay, so we're back. That's Shayna Noll with You Can Relax Now. You find her on iTunes. You can pick up her music for free over at shaynanoll.com, S-H-A-I-N-A-N-O-L-L.com. She also has a Facebook page, Shayna Noll Musician. Highly recommend. She's got all kinds of children's tunes over there. That just melts your heart. So we're back with Samira Jaworska, school psychologist and the creator of Kids Relaxation. You with me, baby girl?
Yes, I'm right here. That was an amazing song. Thank you, Mama Shar.
Isn't it beautiful? I'm telling you. And I was biting at the bullet because I created the episode before she got back to me with the permission to use it. And I always gain permission before I use, you know, someone's original music. And I was so blessed when she said, absolutely use it. And it's like, thank you, Jesus, yay. Because I love it. And she's got some really cool inner child kind of songs. And again, the video with this song on YouTube has the children in swings and they're smiling. And it's what children should be, how they should be living their lives, you know, with no worries, no anxiety, that kind of deal. So I thought it was highly appropriate. So check her out. Download it. It's free. It's free. Okay.
Thank you.
Before the music break, we were talking about kids' relaxation, why you created it. So tell me, what's your vision for kids' relaxation?
Well, I really want to keep building Kids Relaxation to be a Disneyland of sorts, of resources and activities to make relaxation just fun and engaging so that kids want to do it. And I want it to, it already is a global initiative. And my vision includes it to expand into being a place that really nurtures parents and educators. And to finding peace within themselves and knowing how to connect, you know, within themselves so that they can model and they can, you know, broadcast this relaxation energy and strategies for the children that are in their life. I think kids really learn from the energy that we emulate so very much more than just what we say and talk to them about. And the energy of relaxation is contagious. I have so many relaxation modalities, you know, on the site already from other people too. I want it to be a resource from many different people and different methods. You know, we already have things on progressive relaxation, yoga, mindfulness, ideas for relaxing in nature with art on the airplane before bed. Emotional freedom technique, Qigong, you know, deep breathing, guided imagery. We have so many ways. And another reason for that is that, you know, everyone relaxes and finds different techniques fun. You know, like for you, you know, acupuncture works. And for me, I really love visualization and EFT. And I think, and that's why I want to have, you know, this smorgasbord, this library available to people. And we're well on our way, too. We've had hundreds of thousands of visits. I want to reach a million by May. Million in May.
Yay.
That's kind of my little my little mantra. Million in May. And then eventually we're going to expand into providing videos for parents and educators so they can use it in practice or relaxation techniques for kids.
Awesome. Well, I did notice on your website there are over 20. I think there's like 23 or something different relaxation techniques. So for a parent that just found you and has been struggling with a child that really needs to kickstart, are there one or two that you could recommend off of your website that they try immediately? Like, is there a generic one that works for everyone?
Well, you know, when people ask me that, I always suggest that they start with deep breathing. And I usually send them, one of the reasons that I have when people sign up for the blog, they get a chapter of the deep breathing ebook, is that I think being able to take a deep breath, you know, is such a foundational skill. That diaphragmatic breath is just a foundational skill to many relaxation activities. And not only that, but it's the immediate signal to the body that, hey, we're going to start relaxation here. You know, it's time to let go. It's time to let go of that tension and that resistance. And so usually I tell people to start with some kind of deep breathing technique. One of my favorites is that's included in that ebook, and I think it's probably in a blog post as well, is the jellyfish visual aid, in which you, you know, cut a paper plate in half and glue some eyes on it and some streamers. And then as you're learning that belly breath, that diaphragmatic breath, the child can watch the streamer tentacles of the jellyfish glow and move. So that's a fun one to start with. Another one, I really, really love the special place guided imagery. I like activity because when kids get there, they rehearse the thought that being who they are is enough just as they are, that there's nothing that has to change, that has to work. And that's one of my philosophies with relaxation practice, is that we start with what's already working, with the strengths, and we build from there instead of, I mean, a lot of things are focused on what's wrong and how we need to fix it, but I really believe in kind of shifting that within the mind. I think there's more relaxation that happens in the mind when we tell it what to do instead of what not to do. So we start with what's working, and in that guided imagery, you really get to deeply experience that you're just enough, just as you are, just right here. Nothing has to change, and you just can feel good. Those are a couple that I think, you know, would really be a good place to start. You know, things work for different people. You know, like for my daughter with her OCD, she found that through sports and intense physical activity, that really helped her to regulate her body and regulate her emotions. For me, I found a lot of relief through cognitive behavioral therapy and emotional freedom technique. I also worked with what's known as neurosculpting, that was developed by Lisa Limburger, and I'm trained in that technique as well. And I just think, yeah, having a shopping mall is kind of what I'm hoping, that people can go there and you can just find what works for you.
Awesome. And, you know, I'm big into law of attraction. So what you're saying about making a child feel good about himself and at the same time focusing on their strengths and not the problem is, but what they're good at, that's just straight up law of attraction. You get, yeah. I mean, you put that energy out, you get more of that energy back. And I think a lot of times, even as adults, we have the tendency to focus on our weaknesses instead of our strength. You know, because we think we need to pull our weaknesses up to where we are in our strength, and that will never happen because it's an even balance for us, you know. So, but I do know that we have touched on this before. On your website, you have a high-protein dessert. It's called High-Protein Mood Enhancing Dessert. Now, we talk a little bit about, not sure, you know, all the chemicals, and I'm a slim and fast food because, Lord knows, I eat it, I gave it to my children, and I get why parents go to McDonald's. I get it. It's tasty. It tastes good.
Yeah.
But there's so many chemicals in fast food nowadays. It's even in our canned foods. I was talking to my friend the other day about expiration on green beans. It's like, you know, in our day, it's easy for us to say, well, in our day, we didn't have expiration on green beans, so we should be able to use these for 3 years past that date. But we didn't have the chemicals in our green beans. So it may not be the green beans that have the expiration, the shelf life. It could be the chemicals, the preservatives they put in the green beans that break down, you know, and so that kind of deal. So what do you, I mean, it's like, what would you suggest to a parent in changing a child's diet? that would help with anxiety?
Well, I think,
Is high protein the key? Yes, most
definitely. High protein and good fats are the key to promoting brain functioning and stabilizing moods within the body. So as most of us know, high carbohydrates and sugar diets, while they taste, you know, good initially, they move through the body and cause an instability of blood sugar. So the body will crash, you know, soon after eating them, and it causes a lot of ups and downs, and this impacts our brain functioning and moods as well. So, you know, definitely if there's anything else that a parent takes away is that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It's research is building and building and building on this, is that this meal, if you get it packed, if you do nothing else to shift anything else in the diet, but if you pack that breakfast with protein and healthy fats, you know, the healthy fats found in, you know, things like nuts and avocados and those healthy fats, if you pack breakfast with those things, then that's going to really be the foundation of your child's day and the foundation of your child's brain for that day. So if anything else, there's the first little hint is just stick to that. Later this year, I'm hoping to get out a book called Zen Food for Kids that's going to be filled with recipes kind of like this one you were talking about, that high-protein dessert, so that parents can have more things at their fingertips to support that brain functioning. I do have a relaxation if you're into Pinterest, but yeah, just to kind of, you know, to stabilize that brain functioning, high protein, low simple carbs and sugar, you know, and a couple books if people want a couple resources that really changed my viewpoint were Power Up Your Brain by David Perlmutter and Alberto Villoldo, and Sugar Blues, which is a classic by William Dufty. So a couple of those just to get started, kind of kickstart, you know, foundation for this.
And, you know, I've been told that the sugar detox, which I'm going through now because I'm doing a liver detox, mm-hmm. is like withdrawals of cocaine and heroin. You know, so it's yeah. like I get what you're saying about the crash, you know, mm-hmm. because I'm suffering now from the withdrawals doing the sugar
yeah.
detox.
Oh,
you know,
I
and it is definitely, it's not just a mental, it is absolutely nope. a physical thing. You know, so since we're talking about, we had talked about EFT, and you know I'm big
yeah.
on EFT ever since I learned it last year. You have a poster. I'm going to snag it for myself because I preach it so much to everyone. I need something, a visualization to show them where to tap instead of sending them to the YouTube with Brad Yates or something. You know,
mm-hmm.
but how would you explain to a child that they're going to feel better if they tap underneath their eye or on their chest? Or, I mean, you know, I mean, the posters do help. They do help.
Yeah.
But I have
yeah.
a hard time explaining it to adults. But how do you explain
well,
that to a child?
That's so funny, Mama Char, because just today I was explaining it to a little boy. And at first he kind of looked at me like, huh. That's kind of interesting. What you doing there? You know?
Looks like a monkey.
Wow, Miss Z is now tapping on her head. But I like to explain it to kids that there's many different energy points throughout our body. You know, like our body is energy. And that when we have lots of strong emotions or we have lots of thoughts about stuff we don't like, then it helps to get the energy moving again. And so I just like to think of it like that. And, you know, what we're going to do is when we tap on these places, think of it kind of like we're loosening up places that are stuck and we're just getting that flowing through our body. And they might giggle a little. You know, he was giggling today when I was showing him. But then I pull up this little poster and I say, here, look, with the little stars or the little hearts and the little girl, and we're going to tap on those places. Those are the places where energy, you know, can really move if we tap there. And another resource that, you know, if you visit my blog, I do have a tapping, if you just search on my blog for emotional freedom technique, I talk about this little ebook called Tapping for Kids by Angie Musillo, and I think it's M-U-C-I-L-L-O. And she does a good job. She has it as like a, you know, a castle. And she talks about walking through the different energy rooms of the castle, and she talks about our fingertips being little magic wands, and we find magic places, and we tap on our body, and then energy starts to move. So those are just a couple ideas. Kids don't, they kind of get the whole energy needs to move and get out and keep flowing. So that makes it a little more explainable, I think.
They're probably more receptive to looking like the monkey. I had one friend say, I will not tap underneath my arm. And it's like, okay, well, whatever. You know, I have no problem, you know, doing the monkey kind of deal. You know, I guess kids, they haven't had that closed-minded relationship with the world yet, you know.
Yes.
So
yes.
With
you
parents,
know,
it's like, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, also, you can use a stuffed animal. That sometimes helps, too, because sometimes it's not as weird to tap on a stuffed animal first, besides starting out tapping on ourselves. So that sometimes breaks the ice, too, if you have put little stickers on the stuffed animal and tap on the stickers. And, you know, maybe it could be a monkey. I don't know. It might be kind of fun, too.
Yeah, awesome. That's a great idea. Great idea. Again, you know, when I'm trying to teach people, I just always pull up Brad Yates and say, you know, here, just do what he does. You don't have to believe it. That's the good part. Just your subconscious knows. You know, your conscious doesn't have to wrap its head around it. It's like your subconscious knows when you're saying these things and tapping in those energy centers that it's getting fed what it needs to be fed and release what it needs to release.
Yeah.
You know, so I, you know how I feel about EFT, but I know that we had talked about the importance of both the parent and the child doing meditation, tapping, you know, any kind of relaxation techniques together. But is it how important is it for just the parent to do it alone? And what's the benefit of that?
Essential, actually, because we can't underestimate the power of energy that we're broadcasting from ourselves, like, in every moment. I mean, we all sense it. You know, kids can sense when we're upset. We can sense when they're upset. We have these sensory mechanisms. We know what energy feels like. So our kids are watching what we do and how we react and how we respond. And so as you get started with relaxation, you know, practice, it's so important to model, you know, like when you're feeling stressed, to talk out loud about it, to talk about how you're feeling, and, oh gosh, my body really needs to calm down right now, and then maybe even put your hands on your own stomach and take that deep breath, because kids can feel, you know, and they are, I mean, they say, you know, that old saying that says, you know, do as I say and not as I do doesn't work.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, they're going to do what we do. And so if they see it as our value and it making us feel good and they also see the value of our taking care of ourselves, you know, on top of that, you really, you know, until your own cup is filled up, until you're feeling good inside, there's really not as much to share with your child anyway. So I always kind of look at it that way, that if you really want to support your child and you want to really fill your own bucket, you know, so you have more to give from the overflow rather than some depletion where you're trying to find some to give to begin with. So
kind of like the airline stewardess, fix your oxygen mask before you attempt to fix the child, that kind of deal.
Oh,
I see when you're talking about that, I know you've seen it because he went viral, but it's the little bitty guy and he's talking to his mother and he's wanting a cookie and he's going, Linda, listen to me, Linda. And you know, that's his father. I mean, you can see his father coming out in him because he's defiant. He wants that cookie, but he's using adult terms. Yeah. And he's no bigger than a little, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper. And he's, you know, Linda, Linda, listen. You're not listening to me, Linda, Linda. You know, and it's like that is mimic. I mean, he's mirroring his father right there. So very good point. Very good point. It's almost like, you know, and also, again, with the law of attraction, the energy that the parent is putting out, the child will pick up on. If it's bad energy, you're having a bad day, that's what they get too.
Totally. And just to kind of add to that too, is that I think one of the most healing things that you can ever bring to your child is allowing them to feel that you are present there with him or her. You know, and just that you are there sending the message, I see you, I hear you, I'm here. You know, my attention is fully right here in the moment. There's something incredibly healing and calming to the nervous system about being in that space. And so relaxation practice really trains us to be able to be in that space. You know, and so the more you can get in there and really be present with yourself, then I think the more mindfulness, the more presence you can bring to connecting with your child.
Yeah, it's a win-win. It's healing for both.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't like to be heard? And who doesn't like, I don't care how old you are, to say, good job. Whether it was the best on the team or whatever, I mean, everybody wants to feel like they're heard, you know, kind of deal. So I know on that you have a complimentary 30-minute strategy session for the listeners. If they go to your website, kidsrelaxation.com, and they sign up for this, what all does that entail?
Well, in that session, of course, we really, I listen to what the current concerns are, or even if there's not concerns, what you are looking for to develop in your relaxation practice, in bringing more relaxation into your life, with your child, with yourself. And together, we assess your goals and see if they're a fit for the kids' relaxation coaching for either you or both your child and you, or your child. And then I also give some ideas for kickstarting or, you know, enhancing the relaxation practice you may already have started.
Okay, so that's over at kidsrelaxation.com, kidsrelaxation.com. Well, baby girl, it has been a pleasure as always. But before we go, I want you to tell us, where can we find you? Social media, Facebook, all that stuff.
Yes. Well, like you just said, at kidsrelaxation.com, you can sign up for my blog, and that will get you a free chapter of the Deep Breathing for Kids ebook. Also, this Friday, I'm going to be launching two classes that will be announced through the blog, and they will be both available through online and locally here in Colorado. One is a 50-minute meditation for moms class, which we're going to gather every Thursday in February and experience, you know, deep relaxation and focusing on empowering beliefs and thoughts for parenting. And the other is a 4-week neurosculpting class. I spoke a little bit about it. It's a brain-based meditation. That was developed by Lisa Wimberger, and you can find out more about that at neurosculptinginstitute.com. But I'm going to be announcing 4 introductory 90-minute courses on this neurosculpting, and we're going to be looking at the topics of navigating fear, navigating change, creating cellular health, and creating a new money paradigm. And we're going to be doing that all through relaxation and this neurosculpting, this brain-based meditation. So if you go to my website, all my social media is there. You can follow Kids Relaxation on all of those. You just click on those link buttons. And, you know, I look forward to meeting all of you because I'm just very excited to share these things with everyone.
Do you have to have a kid? I mean, that sounds like something I want to do. Now, my boys are older than you.
Not for, no, the neurosculpting is for adults and it's for anyone. And it's related. Eventually, Lisa is actually developing a neurosculpting for parents class that I'm going to begin teaching soon, but she's working on that. So right now we're just starting with these other navigating fear and change, cellular health, and new money paradigm. Because it's all about relaxation. It's all about training the brain for that responsiveness instead of reactivity. So, you don't need to be a parent.
Good. Because again, my boys are old, and I wish I had somebody like you around. You know, whenever I was raising my boys that were 10 and a half months apart, and boy, talk about trying. Wow. Different personalities all together, you know, so close together. Yeah. But I want to tell you, you are amazing. You are truly, absolutely amazing. And this world is a better place because of you.
Oh, well, thank you, Mama Shar. It is always a pleasure to talk with you and to kind of be surrounded by all of your love that you put out there in the world as well. So it's my honor to be here tonight. And I just want to thank you for all the work that you do as well. Because it's very impactful, and I am so grateful to know you and to be a part of that world.
Thank you, baby girl, and thank you again for returning. And maybe next year I'll have you back on. You can tell us, you know, about what you've got going on with the ebook and all that stuff.
Sounds fabulous. Thank you so much.
All right, baby girl, you be blessed, and I love you.
Love you too. Bye bye.
Good day. Well, there you have it, people. Zamira, I always mutilate her name, Jaworska, Jaziewierska. Zamira is Zemirah. Google her. If you can't remember, kidsrelaxation.com. Or you can always, you know, go to MamaSharBlockRadio.com/MamaShar and look at her episode there. All of her information is there, too, with the link you can click on for kids relaxation. So I just tell you, what a brilliant mind. Okay, next up we're going to do Ask Mama Shar. And I've been really hustling on Twitter and Facebook to get people to send in their questions for Mama Shar. And I tell you, I am just so blown away by the amount of people that reach out and the problems that they have. But this one touched my heart because we were talking about children. And this comes from Madison in Tampa, Florida. I am 20 and having my first baby. I am afraid I am not going to be a good mother. My mother was not a good mother. What if I don't know how? And baby girl, first of all, the fact that you're concerned about your baby makes you a good mother. You know, I mean, you've already got step one down because you're already concerned about that. But I want to remind you, you're not your mother. So please do not judge yourself by her standards or lack thereof. You make your own destiny. You have a child. You know, in a couple of months, you're going to be responsible for that child. You start the slate all over. You're not mama. You don't have to repeat her mistakes. And I want you to know, when you hold that baby in your arms, there's a maternal instinct that immediately kicks in. And you'll find that through your baby's entire life, now my boys are 42 and 43, when you have a child, you will possess a mama bear, whoop your ass if you mess with my baby mentality. We don't ask for it. It's just part of the birthing. Most mothers have it, not all mothers do, but just because you have asked already and concerned about your baby, I have a feeling you're going to be a fierce mama bear. And you're going to love this child. You're going to raise this child according to your standards. And just remember, not all children are the same. my boys being so close to, 10 and a half months apart, but they're totally different in personalities. And unfortunately, they don't come with books. They don't come with instructions. But you'll know. You'll know what is good for your child. You'll know what is bad for your child. And yes, you're going to make mistakes. Guaranteed you're going to make mistakes. But I want to promise you that if you love that child and you nourish that child, you can't go wrong. You won't screw them up that bad. And just believe me, I know, because I've got two well-balanced men now that if anybody could have screwed them up, it would have been me. So just know, accept who they are with your whole heart. Let them be themselves, their personalities. Don't try to make them conform to what you want them to be. Love them, and you'll be a wonderful mother. Please let me know when the baby's born. I want to know. I have emailed back and forth from my listeners with Madison, and they chose not to know the sex of their child. So I'm dying, too. I'm like a grandma here. I want to know what Madison and Brent are going to have also. So please, baby girl, keep in touch. Let me know whenever the baby comes and how you're doing, because you mean a lot to me. All right, so if you've got a question for Mama Shar, you can reach me at mamashar.com or on all social media at Mama Shar Blessed. And I look forward to hearing from you. Any questions? Nothing is too tough. Now, some of them I will not repeat on the air, but I have no problem giving you my opinion, because I guarantee if you've got a question, I've got an answer. I'd love to give my two cents with. That's all there is to it. So anyway, that's all that we have for this week. Please remember, go check out kidsrelaxation.com. Fantastic site. Again, like she said, you don't have to have a child to go there. There's all kinds of relaxation techniques and pretty cool stuff on there. Sign up for the breathing exercise, the ebook chapter that she's going to send you when you sign up. I've already got mine. Our musical guest, Shayna Noel, love that song. Love it, love it. Go check her out at shainanoll.com. She is awesome, awesome, awesome. And I think she is also, let me check here. You can find her music on Amazon. And then there's a music site called last.m/music/Shayna Noel, S-H-A-I-N-A-N-O-L-L. So you can find her on Facebook, you can find her on YouTube, you can find her on Amazon, last.fm music, and her website. Go check her out. Her music is free, and she is a lovely and delightful, delightful person. So that's all we have for you guys this week. I'm so honored and blessed that you guys chose to come back and listen to me every week. I'm blown away by my ratings going up and up and my attendance growing as fast as it is with my listeners. I do love you and I appreciate you. And one last thing before I go, remember to play nice, love God, love your neighbor, and yourself. Y'all be blessed, and we'll talk to you next week. Good day.